Today's reading is taken from Job chapter 1, which you can find on page 417 of the Church Bibles. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were ploughing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong.
Thanks. Nicola, hello, my name's Kev. I'm the senior minister. Great to see you. Welcome back if you've been away. Welcome if you came to one of our Christmas services and decided to come and have another go at church. So glad you did. Happy New Year. The weather's not very happy, but well done for making it out on a day like this. St. James's Kenilworth is a church in Cape Town in South Africa. It's a lot like our church. I've met a few people from there over the years as they've passed through London. Some of them were actually there in the building on that church family's nightmare day. It was just over 30 years ago, in the middle of a service a lot like this, when a group of armed men burst through their doors. They threw grenades, sprayed bullets at the congregation. 11 died, 50 more injured, an entire community traumatized. When you chat to folk from that church, as well as stories of the horrors of that day, they share wonderful testimonies of godliness and trust in the Lord in the midst of it. One lad jumped on a grenade and died instantly, taking the full force, saving other people around him. One man's wife, who was one of the first killed, had a TV camera thrust in his face that very evening. And can you believe it, spoke of the possibility of Christian forgiveness. A child from their Sunday school wrote this prayer. Dear God, I'm confused because I don't know why you let the terrorists do this. But Lord, as you say in the book of Job, when we ask our questions, you may not answer them straight away, but you are always in control. Frank Retief, their vicar, writing later, said, it appeared that the years of systematic Bible study had borne fruit in a time of great darkness. And I've always found that quite moving and inspiring as we think about our purpose here at Euston Church. Because whether you're with us short term or longer term, our shared ministry is in many ways one of preparation, that the years of simply listening to God's voice in here will bear fruit in your life for the rest of your life, including on the darkest days, which I'm afraid will surely come. For some of us, the times of great darkness are now. I'm really sorry about that. Let's be sensitive with each other, pray with each other, not assume that this is all hypothetical. Happy New Year, eh? Someone said to me this morning, this is quite heavy stuff. Well, yeah, but we need to get real, don't we? Because it might not be a happy year globally, nationally, personally. And whether it's our own or others, maybe more than anything, suffering makes us question God. Why? Why us? Why them? So innocent. I don't know where you're at in exploring and believing these things. For some, these questions torpedo the entire integrity of the Christian faith. The book of Job won't answer all our questions. The aim is not to take the pain away as if that were possible. It will, though, begin to help us make sense of what's going on when things don't make sense, if that makes sense. We'll have question times. There are talk titles on the flyer to help you invite your friends and some extra introductory material on the handout that's not particularly to go through right now. We'll start to see today that the wisdom that will sustain us on the dark days has to be cultivated on the ordinary days. So this is for all of us, however life's going at the moment. We're all trying to make sense of God and suffering out there in the world. We all need to be equipped to walk alongside the wounded in here. And all of us may be present, certainly future sufferers ourselves. What do you have that if you lost it would shake your faith? What will sustain you on the day your joy turns to tragedy? This is point one, and allow me to introduce you to one of the greats. 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright. It doesn't mean he was sinlessly perfect. It means, rest of verse one, that he feared God and turned away from evil. Great family, verse two, full of sons and daughters, made sacrifices for his kids, literally in verse five. Great businessman as well. Verse 3, wealth back then measured not by bank balance, but by head of livestock. And at the end of verse 3, Time magazine seemed to have named Job their person of the year, because this man was the greatest of all the peoples of the East. You know, they say about us in Britain, we're a bit grumpy and skeptical. We don't like people who do too well in life, you know, unseemly to be quite so successful. Must be a skeleton in Job's closet? No. Well, at least he must have become proud, conceited, the self-made man. You know, there's a brilliant speech by Abraham Lincoln rebuking his own nation, the United States. He said, we've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation, but we've forgotten God. Job hadn't. Men wanted to be him. Children wanted to be fathered by him. Camels wanted his name stamped on their backsides. I belong to Job, the great. But one day, You know, there's a man called Roy Sullivan. He was struck by lightning 7 times, separate occasions during the course of his life. According to the Guinness Book, that's some sort of record. Job metaphorically hit 4 times inside a minute. Have you had many of these horrible messages in your life yet? Pace is head spinning. So verse 15, donkeys, donkey servants, attacked and gone. Verse 16, sheep and sheep servants, literally struck by some kind of light from the sky. Verse 17, next the camels, another raid. Happens sometimes in business. Dramatic stories of riches to rags. At least you've got your family to go home to, eh? Verse 19. Behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. Been awful reading some of the families describe their losses of sons and daughters in New Orleans the other day. Same that attack at the German market just before Christmas. Check this, 10 children wiped out in a moment. How do you even begin to come to terms? We'll come back to Job's personal tragedy, but it's important to know that it's not only his life that's crashing down here. It's a whole way of seeing the world apparently crumbling. See, this should feel more than shocking. It's wrong. Certainly not Hollywood's way of seeing the world. This doesn't happen to the hero. Goes against the grain of most morality and religion. And crucially, isn't this wrong from the very framework that God himself establishes in Scripture? Listen, Proverbs 3. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. You hear? If there is suffering in a world where God is just and good, it should be punishment on the bad people, right? Not righteous Job. Well, come with me for a peek behind the curtain of the universe. Job's story is part of a bigger story. This is our second point. And we shift back and forward. I don't know if you felt it as we went through the reading. One minute we're in the detail of Street View, and suddenly we're zooming up through Google Earth, zooming through the clouds. Suddenly our globe becomes a dot, and we keep zooming to where? A place of angels. Satan. Are we in God's throne room? Rewind to before Job's life implodes. Verse 7. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down on it." Now, there's a verse that raises 1,000 questions just on its own. If this all seems very weird, the Jesus of history who we meet in the Gospels affirms Satan as real. If you believe there's real evil in the world, you're already not far off believing he's real yourself. And this extraordinary glimpse into a realm way above our usual pay grade definitely raises more questions than it answers. One thing is clear, God is in control. See, one possible explanation for God and suffering says, maybe God's not so in control after all. He sees and cares and wants to help, and yet his hands are tied. That's not true from the evidence here. God sets the limits on Satan. Satan is a dangerous dog, for sure, but verse 12, he's a dog on God's leash. And stronger than that, perhaps uncomfortably, God is the one who initiates this whole conversation. Verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? Greatest man of the East, the Lord of all agrees." Satan, however, is a skeptic. Verse 9, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. Easy to nod towards God when you're living a charmed life. Whip it all away, and you won't hear him in church singing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Fair point. Is anyone a true worshipper? Or are we all only in it with God for the stuff? So God gives permission, a terrible permission, for Satan to test Job's faith. Now, we can't extrapolate. We can't say that every time tragedy strikes a righteous individual, that it means this precise conversation has preceded it. We just can't know that. But we Christians need to be honest about our God and what we believe about him. Mustn't try and get him off the hook by saying his control over human affairs is limited, that he's trapped in the journey of pain with us. No. Just as he could intervene to end any suffering at any moment and often chooses not to, God could refuse terrible permissions like this and sometimes chooses not to. Question becomes, does he have a good reason? Here we get something of God's reason for allowing this. Jesus speaks of other reasons. This peek behind the curtain does tell us that as Job's tragedy is part of a bigger story, so are all of our griefs. And I don't say that to belittle that your personal little story doesn't matter. This does suggest, though, that my happiness right now is not the biggest story my life could be part of. Can you bring yourself to trust God, even worship God, when you can't see the purpose in your pain? This is our final point. One of the things that takes me back to Scotland, my homeland, these days, sadly, it's funerals. And so I travelled up for Douglas's. He was an old family friend. He'd been in the Boys' Brigade, and so we sang the Boys' Brigade anthem. Any BBs here? I don't know. Anyone want to admit? Oh, there you go, Andy. You can give us the karaoke version of the anthem at the end if you like. I'd never heard it before, but it's a wonderful Christian hymn. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? Great questions. Are you anchored in anything that will prove solid when the storms come? Are you anchored in anything that will help when just the anxiety about future possible problems is overwhelming? Job, will your anchor hold? Watch this broken man immediately after he's been told about his children. Verse 20, Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on his feet on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He's not detached from reality emotionally, tearing his robe, shaving his head, signs of deep emotion and mourning. But no presumption. The Lord gave. None of those blessings were ours by right. No demands about what God can or can't allow, or explanations I'm entitled to. No accusation against God's character at all. And it's the same in chapter 2, after Satan destroys his health. Absolutely extraordinary. In terms of the tension of this 42-chapter epic, that's it, really. Satan was wrong. Job didn't only worship for the stuff. God was vindicated. The end. Much messier in the detail. A whopping 40 more chapters of messiness. Next week we'll walk with Job as he cries and battles mentally and groans towards God. Of course he did. He's a real person. But the end of chapter 1 is Job from his heart, at his best, the greatest person of the East. surely his greatest hour. Will your anchor hold on your worst day? What even is your anchor? You know, it's so inspiring when you hear of Christian believers whose faith is tested and shines. Satan must hate that. Because if the best of times don't drive you from being a worshiper, and if the worst of times don't drive you from being a worshiper of God, in that sense, you're untouchable to the devil's schemes. Tested genuineness of believing faith that results in great glory. You know, I think we need role models of how to suffer well. I'm thankful for some of those in my life. Some of them are some of you. And it's been a real privilege to see some of you cling to the Lord from the pit. Job's not a perfect role model as the story unfolds. But in so many ways, he shadows and points us towards the ultimate role model sufferer. 1 verse 21, it's just, well, beauty through the tears, isn't it? God doesn't owe me a thing, yet blessed be the name of the Lord. Are the material blessings you experience the bedrock of your faith? Do you presume you're right to them? Is God praised only to the extent he's my provider? It's hard to know, isn't it? We're not to engineer suffering so we can find out. And it's complicated because he loves to give us good things. He does every day. But the dark times, inexplicable times, will come. The faith that sustained Job on the dark days was nurtured in the ordinary days. The Lord gave. Are we in the habit of thanking him as the giver, humbly remembering that he's not Santa, doesn't owe us anything for good behavior? More generally, do you care about what God thinks of you? Not for the material blessings that may flow, but because it's the right thing to revere your maker as Job did. Can you bring yourself to worship him, even when you just can't make sense of what is going on? There's so much more to explore here and to say and to ask. I'm so glad you're here if you are exploring Christian things. What would you need to believe about God, I wonder, to join in with Job's prayer and to mean it? Easy in our generation to presume a lot in terms of blessings we feel owed, control we expect, information we demand about why things are happening in our lives. Job knew nothing of that conversation behind the curtain that we overheard. Of course, he will go on and wrestle with the why questions, as we do in our secret pains, long-term disappointments, perhaps new anxieties born with a new year. There's a loneliness in lots of suffering that we'll explore next week as well. But Job's wisdom is to keep leaning in to a Lord in heaven who he knows and trusts and worships. What would you need to believe about God to join with Job in this godly, godly prayer? The Lord gave. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Job and the sermon series that we've started, looking at some massive themes which are dear to all of us. Themes of suffering, of injustice, and of your sovereignty in the midst of these painful things. Help us to feel the grittiness of life that Job portrays, and help us not to shy away from the fact that this world is immensely broken. We thank you that, as Christians, we know that this suffering is but a temporary episode of an eternal story, as we look forward to the day when all of these questions posed in Job will find their answer in visible glory. We now turn to pray for Euston Church. We thank you for sustaining us through 2024 and for all the ministry that you have graciously allowed us to be a part of. We pray for the year ahead, that we would be humbly dependent on you. We pray also for your provision for Euston Church in 2025, knowing that our efforts are in vain unless you will its growth. We thank you for allowing us to be a part of your amazing salvation plan, and we pray that we might be making the most of the upcoming year in terms of our own personal growth in the faith, our love for one another, and our desire to share our joy with those who have yet to know you. We now turn to pray for our world. Throughout 2024, we saw the continuation of the war in Ukraine, as well as ever-increasing conflict in the Middle East. We continue to pray for peace in these nations, that parties on all sides will be able to find resolutions to the conflicts that they're going through. Even as these stories continue to spill into the 2025 news headlines, we pray that we might not get desensitized to the violence and oppression that's going on. Help us to see these events for what they are, the product of a sinful and fallen world where evil often gains the upper hand and seems to go unquestioned. We pray that these events might help us look forward to the final day where you will answer every desperate prayer and bring a world of perfect justice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.